Guys, a little question and answer while we're all there eating and drinking. Myself, Alan, Mark are basically ask us what you like, fishing, non-fishing, take the piss, we don't care. Like anything you want to ask us, want to know, want to learn, or just want to like rip us, then get stuck in, guys. You need to have a 6.5 foot Alan Blair stood next to you every time you fish any zig above 12 foot. Next.
Let's get you up there, didn't you, bro?
Yeah, I'm not the slip younger man I was there.
Are you a few years ago. Are you at your PB weight?
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
You are as well.
No argument. I'm definitely. Well, no, I was at the PB about 2 weeks before I went to Bled. Went to Bled and I cycled at least 10 miles a day, walked at least 5 miles a day for like 8 days. I didn't catch any fish, but I got really, you know, energetic and fit during that period. So yeah, I probably was PB like a month ago.
That's something I can claim my PB on. That's more than yours.
yeah. But my man Dan, where is he? Shout out to Dan over there. Dan's hooked me up with some lettuce leaves, so I'm definitely on a fitness plan. Dan's gonna be my personal trainer over Skype from about 300 miles away. But I'm on it. Yeah. Right, next. Did Alan blank on that kingfish leg today? By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, I feel better. Sure. Blank. I feel better now from my 9-day European blank.
Maybe 30 minutes.
I'll go on it. For all of you, if you could be any boilie, what boilie would you be and why?
The cell. Just waiting for a reaction. Obviously that was artistic license. I would love to be a Scopex squid in the red variety that's now called 4G squid. Futurely I'd like to be called the Key Cray.
I'd like to be the cell because I wouldn't get eaten.
Oh, shout out to Mark.
Is that recording?
Yeah.
Is it?
We're rocking.
This
is going out live. It's all right, Mark uses JRC.
There's an ally car plug in there somewhere.
An ally car plug.
An ally car plug.
This is one of those, like, come dine with... No, not come dine with. What's that dating thing? I can't think why, but the first one that came into my head was I'd want to be pineapple boiling. but I don't know why. I don't know why. I can't give you an explanation.
Pineapple boilies are like hordes.
I don't know. That's the one that cropped up. Like, I think probably that would be.
They're like.
I think I was probably re-asking the question.
That's what
I
said.
I was re-asking the question. That'd be maximum attraction. The question being, if you could only be one boilie in the world, what would you be? And then I think I'd call.
And what size pineapple boilie would you be?
Oh, I reckon I'd be a 12 miller.
Yeah, subtle.
Boys.
We were doing a live video earlier of Alan doing a talk over there in the rod snapping lounge, and, and I had an absolute screamer in the middle of it, which most of you know, but the people listening to this in the future, the actual live video cut off on the exact second of the first beat, so nobody got the like the excitement
what
of me hairing 20 yards.
Yeah. What, that foul up one, was it?
that's pretty much it. I'd take them all as they come. Beggars can't be choosers. What I would like to know is how Alan catches so many fish and lives on 2 hours a night sleep. He's literally the most energetic angler I've ever seen. Kev calls it pest control. He goes, it's great, but I'll set Alan on the lake and he'll catch all the little ones, just chase them around the lake all day, and I'll catch one fish and it'll be the big ones. Do you think that the style of angling that you do, which is literally pester every carp you can possibly set eyes on,
basically,
do you think that ever catches big fish, or do you think it's just
100% man?
Yeah,
100%. You know, I'd like to think that the biggest fish I hooked in that mountain lake in La Gomera, I reckon that was probably the biggest fish in the lake. Certainly when I fished the church and the cops, caught the biggest fish in the lake. I think if I went somewhere with that method and put enough time into that water, it'd have to lend itself to it. It'd have to have the margins and the fish would have to get in the edge, but I could catch the biggest fish in the lake.
A bit like here. This is a sort of lake for that, isn't it? And you caught the biggest fish in the lake last week, didn't you? the biggest one we know
like,
about.
He's bumming it right up, man. Like, I do not catch that many fish. But
my job.
What it is like when I was younger, like really young, just always, I was quite blessed. I grew up in a village and that meant get out in the cornfields and fucking do whatever all day long, you know. And one of the big things we done for many years, I'll never forget it, man. We had these places called the Froggy. This is really childish and immature. The Froggy, and basically we'd go down there in droves, mate, like 10, 15, 20 man deep, and we'd hit these froggies and we'd be searching for the biggest, most beautiful frog. And I'd spend 6 weeks of my summer holiday doing that, hunting these frogs. And we'd take them back to people's houses and we had rabbit hutches and they were all fucking rabbit hutches. We'd keep these frogs and I remember once we had this one, and this is getting really embarrassing now, we named it Queen Lizzie. No one could catch it, yeah, this frog, and it was massive, and it was definitely a bullfrog of some description, but it lived in this colony of normal English frogs. Anyway, one day I fucking caught it, man, and it was like monumental, and I remember it coming like bouncing through the grass, and I swiped at it with a net and I nailed it and I got it, and I'll never forget. We took it back to my house and there was a conservatory out the back, a flat roof, and I used to get massive bollockings for climbing on this flat roof. But anyway, I needed to weigh this, and the only thing we had was a keep net. We put this thing on the keep, in the keep net, we dropped it off the flat roof, we weighed this fucking, it was like, yeah. And I think that I can't remember, bro, but we kept it. It was kept in a guinea pig hut, like, so we traded it for other frogs, and it was like real serious shit, man. Like,
so you're catching wrongans from an early age.
Nice. And that hasn't left me, basically. So when I go fishing, it is that hunting instinct. I've never done a lot of shooting, you know, just because I didn't have family or friends or whatever that did it, but fishing was that next hunting thing, and it's always been about the hunt. It's always been about the pursuit and the sneaking and the stalking and the ambushing and the massive amount of excitement that would always make me want to fish like that than turn up and session fish. I will always, till I can't do it anymore, man, try and catch my fishing that way, because it's what I get my kicks from.
Yeah, see, I'd like to be good at that, but I'm generally not. I enjoy the camping side of it. I like fishing. I like going fishing. I don't have to catch to have come back feeling really enjoy myself. Especially with a couple of mates. It's a very social sport, isn't it? I mean, this has been great. For some reason, I don't know if we've been lucky, or if it's just because you guys that are coming are the people that are really into the carp cast. I don't know. But generally, we've had such a fantastic group of people. Every time. No idiots. Everyone's here for different reasons. Some people want to catch fish. Some people want to have a few beers. you know, some people just want to support.
In his hand.
for the microphone, I do not drink while I'm working. But I'll leave my rods.
No, but I'll back that up. Honest to God, I think there is definitely a couple I missed, I think. But I think I've seen about 90-95% of it, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it, man. Walking around chatting to you all, like, do you know what I mean? It's been great. I've enjoyed walking around talking to you.
There's lots of people, there's a million and a half people that go carp fishing in this country. Lots of people go fishing. But the people that are prepared to go to something like this are people that really enjoy it. You know, you wouldn't come here if you were like a miserable little fucker, would you? You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't go and put yourself in this situation. And we're meeting a total bunch of strangers every single time, and could not go away saying, oh, that guy was a bit of an arsehole or whatever. Everybody is here because they're I'm the biggest arsehole here, 100%. But like, it's testament to the fact that I don't know what it is, you know, we put the podcast out because we enjoyed doing it, because we opinionated bastards that had something to say in the first place, who wanted to have a voice piece. But the people we've met through it, like the support we get, the, you know,
I think I'm going to cry now.
It's great, and we do appreciate it, and finding out that other people appreciate it makes us carry on doing it. Like, that's as simple as that. But we're here to give something back now, so take the piss out of us. Anything you want to know, like, I'll tell you how I stalk fish out of lakes I shouldn't be on, or, you know, I didn't stalk them, I camped. Alan does the stalking. But, yeah, like, pick our brains or take the piss.
Shout, Mark.
Go on then. I just think, I love Carpcast, by the way. It's absolutely
good, thank
amazing.
You. Yep, yeah,
it's
you
brilliant.
Can come again.
It's great.
I love, by the way, Ben Ski. Legendary. It's made my weekend.
In the publicity nowadays, it all seems to be about
that's what was once many,
on the size. Size, price of carp, and everybody wants to get the bigger size of carp and stuff. And I don't know whether it's taking the fun, because I've been fishing for 40 years.
Yeah,
since I was
you
9.
Old enough,
I've just turned 50. And the old thing to get out fishing is fun.
Well, Alan especially is Mr. Crabtree. He fishes for every single fish going.
Just enjoy it.
Of course it is, yeah. And it's not just about carp. Carp's extreme fun.
Carp fishing is great, but I don't feel like in the media it's just a lot of like, oh.
The thing is, carp fishing has become cool. When I started carp fishing, there was no carp tackle. Like, you had a few.
It's not really the right thing to do. It's like.
There's been a carp fishing craze of rocketing in the last couple of years. People, carp anglers. I missed that. Am I getting so pissed out of it?
Nah,
like it is crossing over. Like, there's people drop shotting now and perch fishing in the winter that would have never done anything else but carp fishing. But that, I started off doing all types of fishing, but when I found a carp 2 or 3 years into a fishing career, I didn't want to catch anything else. The excitement of catching a decent fish, and yeah, I can go with the kids and float fish competitively. I'll sit there and go, I'll catch more than you fuckers, and that'll give me the motivation.
Yeah,
I need the motivation to
function.
All
the same with the industries, kind of.
I think everything's gone carp, and I mean, Alan's from the industry. Yeah. Alan could tell you best.
I think what you're suggesting is, maybe once in a while, as anglers, we should not get too bogged down with always trying to catch the biggest. But the problem is, the reason the carp fishing industry is the industry it is, and match fishing isn't, or fly fishing isn't, is because, and I used to teach the kids this at college, you know, the reason we go underneath everything else, whether you think you're going to get away from the missus, or because you like the gadgetry of it, or because you just want to chill with your pals, but underline everything, the reason we go is to say we can't win this bit.
Yeah.
That is why.
And it's exciting.
You know,
that is what of a sport. You go from serenity, you're watching the shooting stars, there's a nice sunset, you're chilling, and then within 3 bleeps you've gone to panic, you're tripping over your tent pegs on the way out, the fucking thing trying to open it. Like, we go from the beauty of it all to absolute adrenaline, like you're going down the first dip on the a roller coaster or something.
Could we not just
in seconds
promote it more for the kids?
Without doubt. I mean, we run the angling show, and we have,
I mean, as a kid, I fished as a kid, it took me out of something.
Tell us more.
Really bad.
We were, no. You've been a gangbanger.
I did go into something quite bad, but when I was fishing,
yeah,
it kind of dragged me away from that scene.
I know a few people where it saved him from a different life,
like,
a very different
life. I learnt about nature.
It's that addictiveness, though, isn't it?
Nature. Yeah, just being in the wild, the wildlife. It's not just fishing. I know it's carp fishing, but we should.
You made an important point. Like, I never understood littering until I went fishing. Nobody wants to sit in a peg with empty coke cans around the side and chip papers and whatever. I wouldn't have thought twice when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. First started going out on the streets. I'm old, so like we used to be out to play in the streets. I wouldn't think twice about throwing your chewing gum wrapper down on the floor, whatever. Until you're put in this situation in nature, when you go,
you want to preserve
water,
it.
There's a bag of rubbish, and it taught me. Yeah. And I wasn't even like you know.
But it needs coming up do some sport. I mean, yeah, used
well,
to.
Well, we do. Nashav Junior School.
We do a lot.
I used to go climbing.
Yeah.
Up in the lakes.
What? Climbed far up away.
The right.
The first
and there
adrenaline.
Was so much shit dropped by climbers. Yeah, I used to pick it all up. I used to think, this is wrong. If you're take it on with me. It's kind of look after nature.
Well, you have to be in nature to appreciate it.
Yeah.
You have to be there, and the more people get to it, better. The Northern Angus show.
In
the Northern Angus show, like kids go in for free. Like that's one of the things you want to do. Nash, you have a youth program.
Every Wednesday at the moment, all through the summer holidays, we're teaching a morning slot and an afternoon slot.
Yeah,
all the companies do it. It's good publicity.
I'm taking a little girl fishing now.
Much, you know. Sadly, we sell carp fishing tackle. That is our business. And if we were to go out of the office every day and teach youngsters how to catch their first roach, the business would go under.
When you catch your first carp, though, that's when you're addicted. Like, I fished all styles for a few years, and then that first carp snapped me off, lost it on the float. I was hooked.
General fishing, and then they got the carp.
It ends up the carp.
Yeah.
And because
they are the king of the water.
The bream only gets 18 pounds, at 10, 20, gets to 40 pounds. The carp.
And they give up. Like, they pull up a little bit of a show, and then they go, oh, yeah, I've had enough now.
I was saying to Alan earlier, first time I ever went fishing was one of my mates took me down to a really well-stocked place, put me on a little float rod. He had two rods out for carp, and I caught a cruising, my first ever carp. First ever fish was a cruising carp. And I was just so jealous of him because he was catching these 7 or 8 pounders. And I tell you what, I had the bug of him now.
You want a big one?
I want a big one.
I'm glad I did some float fishing and river fishing before I caught a carp. But if the carp was the first carp fish I'd ever caught, I wouldn't have done any of the real other stuff. Yeah. It's the best, sounds arrogant, but it's the most exciting. Like you say, you can enjoy the nature, you can enjoy the peace, and then when that buzzer rips, tell me anyone doesn't fall out of the bivvy tripping over the end of it trying to get to that rod. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And you can enjoy the rest of it, the peace, the socialness, having a beer with your mates, chilling, sleeping, however you do it. When that buzzer rips, you're like,
is this the one?
Hype.
The PB, is this, you know?
It doesn't even matter if you're fishing. I get like that if I'm fishing a runs water. Like, if I'm fishing, I'm quite competitive, so if I go on the lake that I know has got nothing bigger than 10 pounds, I just want to catch more than Spenny or my mate that's with me or whatever. I just want to catch more than them. But if I'm fishing a syndicate or something, I want to catch the A team, I want to catch the biggest fish in the lake. But it doesn't mean I don't enjoy the first bite, the 20 pounder. And that's why I fish the low stock lakes, because for me, every bite is exciting. It's just one step. There's 20 fish in the lake, 50 acres. You catch the first one, it could be the big one. I'm fishing there because it's got a 40 or 50 or whatever the fish is. But at the end of the day, you want to solve the puzzle. And every single fish you catch is a step closer to learning how you're going to like finish the lake. It's like Pokemon Go. You've got to catch them all. But you're just like, you're trying to finish the game, and then you can go start the next level. And the next level might be another lake. But every fish along that journey is all the way. And that's why I don't really enjoy fishing.
What's a crack with barbless thing? Because I absolutely hate it.
Right. On the lake, as snaggy as this, you have to use barbless because there's going to be cut-offs, there's going to be snaps. Any lake that's got long-distance fishing where you get crack-offs, I would insist barbless if it was my lake. A competent angler is never going to damage a fish's mouth with a barbed hook, but I understand people that own lakes have to cater for the lowest common denominator, and the guy that's just going to rip the fish's mouth off, and you end up with fish.
Micro or big barb?
Generally, like any barb can damage a fish's mouth. But the if you've got a syndicate full of hand-picked people, you can have barbed hooks because nobody's probably going to damage that mouth trying to rip the thing out when they can't get it. It's 3 inches down its mouth in the middle of the night. Like, you know that, you know, a competent angler is going to get that out without the fish being called the parrot for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
But
but
there is an argument.
A competent angler could still crack off and leave a barbed rig in the lake.
There's an argument. The barbless hooks move when you're playing the fish.
I want a barb.
Now, the worst case scenario with a barbless hook is a centimetre slip.
Yeah,
your thumb, no problem. But
for me, the worst case scenario with a barbed hook is half a mouth for the fish. The worst case scenario with a barbless hook is a little centimetre slip that will be healed in a week. That's the worst case scenario with a barbless hook.
They're coming in and out, but you don't.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to make a slip that long. Like, even if you play it really badly and heavily, the worst case scenario with a barbless hook is going to make a little slit in it, but it's going to do it every time. A barbed hook is probably going to leave no mark other than a pinprick hole, but when it goes wrong and a fish gets snagged, tethered, whatever, it's going to rip half its mouth off. So do you want a little slit every time that's going to heal, or do you want aftermouth gone that's, that fish is like that for life? So if I found a lake, it'd be barbless.
With a napping great big barb on it. The micro barbs.
A big barb should be banned, full stop. There's no need to have anything. If you ever put a micro barb in your thumb, you'll know that that's enough. Like that, there's never any need for a big. Yeah, unless you're a fanny like me.
So, all three of you guys there now, do you all have.
If I found a lake, it'd be barbless, but I don't like using barbless because you're going to lose a few more fish.
If you have.
But that's selfish. If I found the lake, it'd be barbless. Some lakes ban barbless.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. I've never heard anything more ridiculous.
For fishing barbless.
Yeah. Now, do you guys have a go-to rig on a new water? And why? What would you be your starting rig? You know nothing about the water. You're approaching it. What are you all comfortable putting out?
100% choddy.
Choddy. I'm the opposite.
First time.
Well, just PVA the old way, just put a PVA bag out if you think there's weed.
Because I'll make that cast, then they show over there. I've got to whip it in, tie another bag up, then make the cast. If I see the cast on the chuddy, rigs on it in a second. So first night, the first week, the first month I'm fishing that new water, I'd be fishing chuddies. Just to try and get a feel for anything about the place, and I know how effective the rig can be.
There's no better rig, but if you don't know what you're casting on, you see fish. Yeah. Like my first choice rig, if I see some fish showing, and I've no idea what the bottom is, no idea if there's any weed or anything, I'll put a choddy out. But that's the only circumstance I use.
Is that without marking it at all?
Without marking, yeah. If I can find a spot, I'd rather fish.
So what do you think about this new Carlos Fandango ship where you send your boat out and it's got...
Give me more. Anything that makes it easy.
I know
I can catch fish from our lakes. Anything that makes it easy, I'm all about that now. I'm getting old.
sorry, Jamie.
Go on, Ben.
I was a bit quick in there. But if you saw a fish show, right, over your baits, whatever, right, would you, in your head, would it be a zig or would it be a bottom bait?
I'd watch the way they're showing. Roll and show differently, and given the opportunity, I would try a multitude of things. So if I had a 3-rod or a 4-rod limit, I might put out 2 on shoddies, I might put 2 on zigs. If they're crashing relentlessly, in my opinion, they're up in the water.
They're right up in the water,
doing something up there. They're either happy being there or they're feeding up there, and I'd probably look at fishing zigs. If they're like just hitting a surface from flopping and dropping back down, and they were a lot less, and especially if I could potentially maybe see some bubbles coming up afterwards, I would think they're doing something closer to the bottom.
So that's what you're looking for, bubbles, and you're looking for
in the dark, you can't see that. If they're just splashing around and making a right fuss out there, then I believe they're doing things in the upper part of the water. If they're flopping over and rolling, then I think they're coming up, hitting the top for a reason, and then going back down.
It's an interesting question, because I know a few lads that fished the Manchester Park Lake who were the first zig anglers I ever knew of.
Anyone got
a
kitty on Mr. Angry
Beard?
They were
is this a running
thing,
is it?
No, Nash started it.
Oh, Nash, you're all well, though.
Yeah. Yes, I did. At the end of it, he went, "You're really quick on me there, weren't you, Jamie?" I went, "My diet saved for ages, Kev." I just didn't think how I did it as bad. But the two lads.
You do it, it's better.
I know. There's a lad called Sam Toro, Trafford Sam, we call him. He's a fantastic angler, really, really good. Now, they were catching angry and other fish like that before anyone was ever using zigs publicly, and they were hammering it to the point of biting rigs off in the net. As soon as he landed a fish, people were walking around. They were biting them off because they didn't want anyone to know this. They found something that was like unreal, and they didn't have to spend £15 a key on the key. So they were like,
well,
but these guys, I've asked them that same question you've just asked. If you see a fish showing, what do you cast out? They're like, Zig. Now I'm the opposite. I'm casting my snowman with a little bag round it. I'm casting a snowman rig at them fish 100% as the first thing. If it bumps down soft, I cast another rod, it's soft, I realise it's weed, I might go, shit, do I need a charge, do I need a zig, do I need something else? Their first choice, now these are really good zig anglers, some of the best in the country, their first choice is a zig, without thinking. As soon as they see a fish knot, I'm like, it's overcast, the pressure's 900, fish are on the bottom, they're casting a zig at it. But they catch the same as what I catch on the bottom, or more.
That's good to hear.
So I think, even if the fish are feeding on the bottom, they're still coming up to nut. If they see that bit of black foam halfway up, they're still going to have it. So yeah. I actually think it doesn't matter. Whichever you're best at fishing at. If you're really competent and confident in zigs, cast your zig at it. Because there's as much chance of it going as...
We saw about six shows earlier, and the first thing I just thought, fuck it, you know what? Bosh a zig there. It's about 11 foot of water. Bosh a 9 foot zig there.
Zigs aren't working here, apparently.
that's what I'm blanking.
I've got a question for Alan, actually. Right, so you have a 5-man syndicate, yeah?
Where is this lake?
No. Wherever you want it to be, what other 4 anglers would you have on your syndicate with you?
Oh, they'd be rubbish, mate.
Alan Blair.
Dreadful anglers. Like,
Murray Millpitch, can't pick me first.
One of them guys that goes to sleep and doesn't even put his... Well, I'll put him out tomorrow.
it would be someone. I'll be honest.
But I mean, for social side of things as well as, people...
This, and if anyone... And a lot of people could vouch for me, this is the longest I've ever sat down next to a lake and talked to anyone about anything. Ever. Ever. Well, I organised a social out for Eurobanks 3. I didn't even turn up to it. James, I've got people.
There was also a sweepstake that Alan wouldn't turn up to it. So there's like, everybody said there's 20, no fucking way Alan's going to sit down there.
20 people turned up from various countries around Europe to have this barbecue set up.
I drove 12 hours to get
there. I got them all there and I went fishing. Like, I can't do it, man. So I don't like discussing this. I discussed it with you on the Carp Sky Social. I'm really bad. Look, you wouldn't really want to come fishing with me. Because I am very, very selfish.
It's not selfish, though, is it?
Most good anglers are selfish. They have to be.
It's not selfish.
I will pull whatever stroke I need to within reason. I will bum steer people. I will.
How'd you do that?
Fish over in that lake, mate.
Because I love it that much, man. I love fishing that much. You have to stack the odds in your favour. You know, it's not always easy. And we talked about it before, didn't we? About how you know they're supposed to be your mates, and they are my mates. But when it gets in that fishing environment, that kind of goes out of the window for me, and I'm there to.
So you won't fish, John? What would you really fish then? What's your fish? Now you're on.
Fuck off. Well spotted, on, my friend. Well spotted. Yeah.
No, seriously. When I'm doing tutorials, when I'm doing kids' fishings in that, I give it 110%. And I mean that. Hand on my heart, I do everything I can to help people at shows in that environment. But when I go fishing, it's different. It's like I'm there to.
Okay, let's say we super glued you down to a chair for 2 hours, right? Who would you have with you on the social?
Super glued barbecue, next year.
Beers, talking fishing.
Well, to be fair, you lads ain't fucking bad, mate. Like, you'd all get an invite. Yeah. You definitely all get an invite.
Kevin's good company, isn't he?
Kev's brilliant. Kev's like, he's 61 now and he can still.
He's sharp as a button, isn't he?
And he can back. Me a little bit whenever I like it. What'd you have to the weekend? Yeah, we were partying till like 3 o'clock in the kitchen, and I'm like, but I went to bed at 9:30. Like, so Kev's good, really.
That's
good.
Kids for you.
How
did you meet Kevin and get involved in Ashland?
Kevin had a lake in France called Cavignac, and at the time I was lecturing fisheries management, and I was taking groups of students there for work experience. Just worked hard, mate. Like, so the kids were some were older than me, some were the same age, some were younger and that, and just grafted real. And he just got wind of this. I never met him. He got wind of this lad just taking these kiddies over there and now, and they were doing a blinding job, you know, whether that was removal of fish or sorting out the banks and the swims and the weed problem, whatever it may be. He just done it, you know. And the rest is history, mate.
Do you enjoy doing work parties?
I love it. But I've spent God knows how many days, weeks.
You can learn so much on a work party. Done that.
What, clocking what's going on?
Oh yeah, too right. You haven't got all the Muppets here, have you? So you go around, you can clock everything off.
Check the spots.
Only after
They usually use that clause, isn't they? You can pay out.
Yeah, I'll pay out every time. Buy out.
No, yeah, but you ain't learning jack shit, are you?
Exactly. Yeah.
I ain't learning jack shit.
I'm going to learn when I'm
not trying to learn as much as
not when I have to chuck somebody's feet down with them.
£100
an hour, maybe. I don't know.
What is that all? I ain't coming here then.
You know,
I don't know. I'm not practical. I'd rather pay somebody who can do it better than me to do the practical stuff. I'm not that practical. Give me an idea there.
Give us half the excitement, though, isn't it? Getting in there through the bushes and drinking his bit out.
Get you an Alan Blair on your shoulders, you can land a 50.
Something is therapeutic, man. If you put some headphones in, put a car cast on with me, and get the trimmer out, like, it passes the time.
That's my fucking
rake a few flat spots the only you know about.
Like, I can do that. Like, podcasts when I'm driving, I can do monotonous shit constantly. Like, if I'm entertaining the meantime, I'm not very practical. Like, I'd rather, I'll buy all the equipment, hash it up, and then pay somebody to put it right. I might as well pay somebody who's already got the equipment to do it in the first place. So work parties, put me in the boat in the middle of the lake looking about directing people, I'll be there, I'll be the first one. But want me to chop trees down or some of the snacks that are in there? Yeah, I'll sit in the boat and find them for you and learn the fish. That's what I'm related to.
How do you choose a bait to get on then? You know, like,
you're going to fish a season,
like, we're obviously you're Nash lads and you can obviously pick everything like that, but we're obviously not tight to that.
I try to be objective with the carp cats. I've told you baits I've caught over years, like the, when I use NutriBaits, the big fish mix and stuff, the trigger.
I use NutriBaits for a few good bait, mate.
Yeah, I caught loads of fish on the NRG. Trying to be diplomatic when I talk about bait, because I know I'm associated with Nash. But that Scopex squid and the X mate that Nash made, I would take to any lake in the world. They don't even do the original Scopex squid, so literally their estimate on the bait is the best bait. But there are other good baits to sell. You could go to a lake that sells them when used on, that's going to catch you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get myself a camera.
Jamie.
Just
Shelley's called him out, said he's still friends with Terry Dempsey, who owns the company, and slated Pete Castle. He's had all of these bum boys. Jim Shelley has an army, and the more bad shit he does, he loses a few of them, but he's got his hardcore following, and it'd be foolish to take him on publicly on social media. But he's a fantastic angler, possibly one of the best. The only guy I would put up in the category of Alan, you need your life depend on somebody catching a fish. I'll be picking him and Jim Shelley.
That's where I was going to rephrase your question earlier and say I could answer that. You know, for me, it would be no question of a doubt, Carl and Alex, Alfie, Ollie, those four anglers. It's my life.
Carl and Alex, I've never seen them fish, but I keep hearing stuff about them.
They are dangerous. They are dangerous. At the age they're at, to have caught what they've caught is... It's not normal.
Different
graveyard. I tell you now, I'd had a fifth.
They rocked up from the walking from the car park to round where I was, they'd had two fish.
Yeah, dangerous. Seriously dangerous. And I'd had a fifth. I don't know if you heard a lad called Joe Atkinson. Yeah. Joe, it's with sticky baits.
Yeah.
Gifted. And they've just got something that when they rock up at a water, they read it quickly and they do what they need to do and they catch, you know, and
he's on frying.
Joe, Ali Badmore. Just gifted.
Shelly does chuck a shed load of bait in, though.
I've never fished with Shelly, so I can't speak first hand about his ability. People who have rate him ridiculously high as being a machine, an absolute machine. And this Joe lad, Carl and Alex, Alfie, they've got something, you know. I don't know, it's just people are talented, aren't they? Some people are great at communicating, other people are great with their hands, you know, and everyone's got a gift.
He's good at drinking,
you know. And I'm not. They're just gifted, man. They've got something. Sets them apart.
Now, what's been the most rewarding fish you've ever sort of tracked down and caught?
Again,
in this.
Whether it's, yeah, I think car, it, whether it's
after
a car
Froggy went downhill.
And yeah, that was pretty, you know, to remember that, and I can remember it vividly. All of, you know, that there isn't one, mate, and I mean that, and I'm not trying to cop out of that or anything. No. There isn't one that really, like, it's the thing, you know. To be fair, like
something you've pursued though, like no, even if it's from the cops
no, church. No, I couldn't pick one, mate. I can think of some certain campaigns, especially when I was younger and it was all, I was real green and that, and you were constantly really learning that. You're ticking off big milestones, you know, then, you know, your first double, first 20, first 30. And then after that, it's all a bit of a blur, mate. It's just been carp fishing. So maybe those early sort of milestones, maybe particular waters where I thought I was Terry Earn and I was like 14, 15 and that, and I was cutting my own swims and like going out in dinghies when I shouldn't, and that was pretty momentous period in my life, you know, when it was all mega exciting, like, you know, it's still exciting now, I love it, but back then it was like, yeah, mind blowing.
When you go like a strange lake as such and you right, I want the biggest fish out of this lake, how the hell do you do it?
I don't.
I know you don't, you said
it's
personally,
not me, but if I feel I could. I feel if I decided next year, for example, to catch it, I could do it. I would try my hardest to do it on my terms through stalking it.
But how do you go about doing that?
You find it and you fish for it. You know, you find
put your bait near as many as you can.
You climb the trees, you wade out in the lake, you do everything you can to get on that fish.
You're not allowed to do this shit.
You do it. Yeah, I do it, and that's why I don't fish for fishers, right, you know.
Oh, true.
And that's why, like, I can't have a frying ticket, I can't have a manna ticket, I can't have a welly ticket, I can't have any of them tickets. I wouldn't really want them because they involve time and commitment that I can't give it, but I wouldn't want them because I don't want those rules. That's, to me, that is just...
Well, rules are made to be broken, otherwise it wouldn't be made.
Yeah, but...
Unfortunately, you get banned from lakes.
Yeah.
And it's reputation. When you break them.
Remember where we're sitting, lads, yeah?
I've made that sacrifice, mate. That, you know, when you look through my... There is a big circuit. You know, Jay can claim that. You know, you can go through Jay's album and that, and you can see, you recognise the big fish from around the country.
All in your rules.
I don't think I'll ever have that because I've tried it. I've had some mega tickets. You know, I can get on some fantastic waters. It's not me.
Sorry, Alan. What's your favourite fish you've ever caught?
No, he just asked it, mate, and I can't really. No, you know, I went shark fishing yesterday and I had the best day ever. Because it was yesterday. It was the best day ever, you know.
But tomorrow
you
might catch a marlin.
Next week I'm going to film Urban Banks London for 3 days, and I'll guarantee you, I'm probably going to have the best day ever. And that's kind of like me. Like every right. time I go, it's usually.
I think that's fucking brilliant, right? You've been fishing how many years?
25 years.
And no matter what,
crazy
you might get
it's free. It was a wicked
£40
carp. It's amazing.
What's and you said the best day ever, mate. That is amazing.
What's I can't nail one thing.
It's brilliant. What's the dream scenario, right? So, like, for me. I don't know if I'll ever do it, but I really fancy, you know, that Amazon, like, running group
float tube, mate, fly rod, float tube, tarp on in the Amazon, big shank, a gun, that's me, mate, like, that'd be a proper fishing trip.
What's the, like, epiphany, like, would it be, like, say, Amazon for 2 weeks, or would it be, what's, like, the ultimate fishing goal, like, in your head? Not
well, it was Florida, so yeah, this year I went to Florida, that was the ultimate fishing goal, I went, I done it, I conquered, I caught some of the things I wanted to fish. I don't.
Would it be a blue marlin in the old? Do you catch marlin when you went?
I have had a go.
Would it be, you know, like jaws, like one man in a fishing boat with a
scope,
a 6 foot scope rather than a scope? Just would it be, you know, catching the bass in wherever? Like what's the
next
what's
the
ultimate?
The next one, Jay. I've done Florida. That was the ultimate. I had to go there and do that. And the next ultimate for me is the jungle. Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's the one that would. Yeah.
I want to like be really... The problem is, I went to Florida with one aim. My main aim was I wanted to be scared. I wanted to... Because I have no fear, really. Like, I'm a little bit scared of heights and that, but you can throw me on the lake in a big gale, in a boat, I'll go out. I don't really show any fear to the water. I'm not scared of pike or thing. I'm not scared of cat. I'll grab a cat. No, I'm not scared of anything. So I wanted to go to Florida, and I wanted to be genuinely scared. I wanted to hook things that... You know, and I was to a degree. I think the next fear level is in that jungle, man. You know, because Florida was still built up. It was there was people everywhere. I didn't really feel massively out of my comfort zone. I think, you know, two or three of you in the Amazon on your own,
jungle,
like, it would be another.
In the jungle, well, it's not
river
just
monsters
fish,
that
you've got to be scared of,
yeah, mate.
You've got to be scared of, like, dehydration. Insects.
Insects. You're literally potentially being bitten by something, and
it's going to kill you.
I'll tell you, I'll just have to show you.
Malaria.
Keep your trousers on, for fuck's sake.
I've got a video, like Florida, for example. We were walking along these drains and we're fishing for snakehead, peacock bass, big cichlids, boshing them one after the other, picking the ones we wanted, little lures or little life baits. Blow me down, I found an alligator and I. Like, I tell you, you'll see the video. The video's coming out on the 1st of September. It's part of Tom's Wild and all the footage is in there, so you'll see how truthful I've been about it. So anyway, I've clocked this gator, man. And he's about 6-7 foot long, a big one. And I'm buzzing, like absolutely buzzing. So I've ran and got the boys with the cameras, and I've gone in and I've got up with my iPhone to about where your crocs are now, filming this thing. Going, this is mental, isn't it? And I didn't realise, I didn't think they can actually travel incredibly fast on land. Yeah. At any point, should it have wanted to, come and it's things like that, man. That was like, and then I carried on fishing. And I had a cast out. Like a couple of little gators and that meat along and that jigs in front of them sitting the final day for it. That's proper fishing.
Trying to catch one of them boars when he's in that forest.
Yeah, the boars, all stuff, all things like that. That's, it makes it all exciting.
Having any limbs with you for leaves before you fall, that's the end of it. No, two legs and an arm. I've got one left, I'm giving up.
I've recently had a really crappy session. I snapped a rod and then lost one in the lake. Managed to get it back. I need to find that I still had the fish on and landed it. So it was a bit of a mixture. What's your worst session? What's the worst session
nightmare
you guys have
session.
Had? Nightmare session.
So one of my work, probably my most embarrassing, I was teaching and taking students to France, we also used to take them to places in England, and I did, I think, 9 nights on St. John's, working in the day, fishing at night, 9 night blank on St. John's. That's probably top of the, you know, I didn't have the full 24 hours each day to stay on top of things, and I made some real bad decisions in it, made bad moves and should have stayed put. That was probably, but I learned so much from it, so I don't ever look back on it and think, oh, what a disaster that was. And I think you have to take the rough with the smooth all the way through life and whatever that is, and you need to sort of look at things when things ain't gone quite to plan or whatever, you need to try and ascertain maybe why and just learn from that. And
so can you come in my swim and catch a fish?
Have you been back to St. John's and Hamilton?
Yeah, I've had a few. I told a lovely story, didn't I, about the bolt machines through the trees on the far bank of my power court at the Box Common, you know, in less than sort of 12 hours at £41 and that. So, yeah, it was just one of them sessions. It didn't go well. It happens, you know, Eurobank's free this year. It felt like it beat me up badly, like really, really, really badly, and nothing really was going quite how I'd kind of painted this film in my head, you know, before going. But
like all my sessions,
it wasn't that bad, you know, and you learn from it.
Absolutely. You're always after that red letter day another time.
Real,
you know,
cliche,
you
but
be the one.
It ain't cool catching. You know, we don't go catching. You're going catching tomorrow. Are you going catching? Yeah, I went catching yesterday. No, we went fishing.
We all know.
We're
going to the lake. Yeah. Front and back, where's the big one? Where's the big one? Not weighing them, you know, like, the excitement is the struggle in between, isn't it? It's the journey to get to the point where you go, which is something. That's why I like fishing Lobstock lakes with a big fish, because there's an end. Like, when you just go fish a day to go late, fish another day to go late, fish another day, like, it's kind of a continuous.
Like an ice spot.
Yeah, all right, St. John's, you might Box Common, catch that, and the other 40, you might go, yeah, I've done St. John's. But generally, I want a puzzle to work out. I want to significantly feel like I've achieved something, catch one or two of the big ones, start again. For me, it's the journey. Like, the end result is elation because you've achieved, you've got to an end, but it doesn't really matter. Like, but I caught the fat lady at ridiculous weight for the time. It was £10 bigger than any lake you were ever going to join with a fish. The biggest fish in it was going to be £10 more than that. People said to me, where are you going to go from here? I was like, well, I'm going to join another lake. It's got 240s in it. I want to catch both of them. And it changed nothing in the whole scheme of things. One of our mates really caught the scarfish from Grabbiers at £92. It's like, it's so far removed.
Like, he's never
going to
catch
I
hope he does, but he's never going to catch a fish.
He's just called Rainbow. He's thinking, right, and he's called Rainbow now. The sixth biggest fish in Rainbow. And you'll be just as happy catching a 70 out of rainbow because it's significant. Some people like catching numbers. I know guys who couldn't do the sort of fishing I do because they can't stand the time in between the blanket. They get more enjoyment now going to a St. John's and catching 10 20s and 2 30s and go away feeling fulfilled. For me, after the 7th 20, I'm like, it's another fish.
Well, that's four sessions of blanks.
But that's different. Fishing had a good result.
Yeah,
and
really
the next time you catch a fish, like, I go on a low stock lake that's got 15 fish in. Every fish they're talking about in the whole syndicate about how there's a fish out last week. So and so caught the Terminator Common, it was 17 pounds. It's an achievement, it's not the size.
It's perspective.
It's relative.
You get a relative perspective. Yeah. You've got to put it into perspective.
In St. John's, you're not going to get excited over 70 pounds. Unless it's your first bite, you go, right, we've done something right, we're going to catch another. You might be happy about a 17 pounder. In St. Ives Lagoon, I had 19 fish in it. There was a fish called the Terminator Common, it was 17 pounders, a right little character. He used to march along the margins like he was the boss of the lake, like Swank, you know, like when he went across it, it was called the Terminator because of that. I caught that fish, I was elated because you caught a fish on average every 10 nights, like that was the average for the syndicate. I was as made up as if it was the 40 or 50 or one of the 430s. That was the challenge on that lake. I go to Fox's Lake near my house on the Wyeside complex, got nothing bigger in there than 12 pounds. I'm on there wanting to outfish my pals. I'm just as excited as catching a fat lady or another fish. It's relative to the place you're fishing. What I don't like is the monotony. Oh, that's another 25 pound common, put it back, another 25 pound common. Like that, you're thinking, where's the 30? Where's the 40? Like, for me, that is what gets. That's why low stock lakes appeal to me, but most people I know are not like that. They want to catch fish. They want that excitement when the buzzer rips. For me, I want to know that buzzer rips. It could be a 10 pounder, it could be a 40 pounder. It could be an unknown fish nobody's caught. And that's one of the beauties of these lakes. They don't really know what's in. If anything, they play down the fish that are in it. I've been sort of like, every time I say, well, what's actually in here? Well, we know there's a 40 in each lake and the Dartford was in 30s. But speaking to people actually know the score, somebody's going to come along catch a 37 pounder. They're like, oh yeah, well we knew that was in here, but we didn't mention it because, it's kind of like a subconscious business plan where they want people to catch fish and be like, wow, I didn't know there was.
Yeah, we don't really know, man.
They don't know, but they kind of know.
Can you let the cop know?
Oh, I have seen it.
Let them know that we're after them, because like, they're a bit of fucking shell shocked at the moment, aren't they? Let them know that we're not there.
I think tonight on Kingfish is going to be better because everyone's spread out a little bit more now. There's a few people moved over here. The people over there have spread out a little bit. The fish are in shot. I mean, you've been down there today. They were hiding, weren't they? They were
right under the trees.
Have you seen it like that in the last few weeks?
No, I fished it like that tree's my little banker. I creep down in there, throw a few mixes at that, and they're at boshing and Pac-Maning them, and you catch one within in minutes. They won't come out. They won't come out.
They've been scared. It will settle down. I think tonight there's loads less pressure on that lake.
Just lines. You know, that particular area, that middle bit of Kingfisher, I counted out, there was 11 lines out across a really, really small area. Now, if I was caught,
I don't know about it. I've had it for 15 pounds.
I'm gone.
So, do you tie your own rigs every time, or do you shot bolt?
Again,
I know you've got to say
no. I like probably a lot of people did the whole. Many rig boards, and I'd have all these rigs tied up, and that used to be really part of fishing for me. That was part of the enjoyment, the preparation.
Catching your rigs, catching your rigs, tied, not that off board.
Yeah. But forget the tied or who's tied it, or whatever. Just having all those rigs in that situation ready to go, I've scrapped it all completely. And I was speaking to yourself about it earlier. And as carp anglers, one of our biggest downfalls is preconceived ideas. Yeah, so you kind of turn up for your French trip based on some knowledge from last year, or you turn up at your syndicate water based on what happened last weekend, and you drive there and you're like, I'm getting in swim 16, or I'm going to get in the bar, or I'm going to get in it, and you're already telling yourself on the way down, I'm going to get, or if I don't get in that swim, I'm going to get in that swim. And you already know what you're going to do. You know, you're going to fish solid bags on this session, because last night you tied up 20 solid bags and already done all you're going to use. And a lot of anglers go with that mindset. They've got this preconceived idea of what's going to happen. I was as guilty of it. Not anymore.
What do you think about using seafood as a bait?
Seafood? Or what is it?
Most fish and prawns are epic.
Epic.
You know,
if you take sardines,
they're based on a fish meal base mix, aren't they? But as in using
sprats.
Prawns.
Prawns are an awesome bait. You know, absolutely.
Listen to Mark Holmes. he specifically uses seed bait.
Yeah, it's because of the oil. It's all that amazing oil inside them.
So do you always put additives or just use a neat shop bought, go to Tesco's, I'll go and buy a bag of friggin'.
I saw some Aldi boys the other day, don't worry.
Was it buy one, get one
free? 40 quid barrels were pretty decent.
There's no right or wrong. You know, and on a certain water at a certain time, you will find your results will be far, far greater if you fish a washed out bait. So you take as much flavour out of that bait as possible, and you're fishing with a really, really unflavoured, you know, non-high attract bait. That will be the thing to do. You'll fish another water at a different time of the year, and you want something absolutely pumping it out, you know, and you'll get your bites that way. I had an interesting conversation with some lads last week with regards to floater fishing. I've been floater fishing, and they are having it on the top. Floaters rise, whatever, bam, 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 and you're catching, but you have to sort of replicate the situation, so you have to make sure your hook bait sits in the surface film, like all the freebies and all this. I've been on other sessions where they will not take those baits, you have to chuck a pink pop up in the middle of it, and for some bizarre reason, they're home in and they'll nail it, and that is fishing. Every session is different. Like,
you once told me you caught a float fish on a cigarette box.
Mullet.
Cigarette butt.
Yeah, I have, you know, and I was thinking where I was going.
Was that one you'd smoked or not?
Yeah, it was, yeah. The mullet thing, remember? I was fly fishing, and I couldn't get the bread. I only had bread. I didn't really have the gear I needed, and clocked onto the fibrous material of the cigarette. So I'm feeding bread, and then I was just ripping some of the fibre into the hook, and it boshed the mullet one after the other. And sometimes you need to think like that. You need to just get out of the box quite quickly and assess what's tool for the job.
Fish with a 20 a day, I bet.
I have a Jim Shelley story actually that he told me. He's fishing on tall pits, and the fish were going on the top, and he'd filled it in with like a sack of mixer, like everywhere, a whole sea. The fish were having it, there was a whole sea, and he had no forward gear with him. He had his main line, which was like 15 pounds, and he free lined a pink pop up in the middle of all these mixes where the fish were going, and the biggest fish in the lake, I forget which one it was, on the top, it's 40, so it was like 40 times, made a beeline. It ignored everything else, put everything else out the way, made a direct 30 yard line to this pink pop up, yammed it, and he caught it just like that on the most unconventional
time. Yeah, and no control, it can be like that. It can be like that.
And this fish singled it out.
So nothing is textbook anyway.
No,
is it?
That's where I was going. So where you're saying, do you flavour things or do you fish them? It just depends on the venue, the day, the time of the year.
A lot of fishing, I think, is there's a lot of skill involved. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's anglers like you, there's anglers like Jamie and Mark, and you know, there's people who put their time and effort. Oh, I thought I'd mention you. There's people who put their time and effort in. There's the bloke who owns the tackle shop I use often. He said his mate goes to Gigantica 4-5 times a year. And he said he's been on like a blank after blank after blank, week after week. And he said these fucking blokes turned up and got a clue, they were blasting that music, getting pissed up. A bit like us actually. And he came over to this fella and he said, "Oh, I've got this ready tied rig, what sort of bait shall I put on it?" And he went, "I'll put that on it, mate." He just didn't run anything to do it. Caught 70 pounder.
You know? I think there's a reason for that.
Ignorance is bliss.
Alan's style of fishing is the obvious, right? I'm going to find them, going to let them dictate what I'm going to do. If they're in the edge, I'm going to fish in the edge for them. If they're doing this on the top, I'm going to fish on top for them. If they're fizzing up on the bottom, I'm going to like do the most logical thing to catch them fish. I look for patterns. I do look for those signs, but I'm looking to work out the bigger picture long term, because it's sort of, you know, like fishing.
He's on his iPhone, like, and I've got other pals that are doing it properly. They're using the moon and all these apps and that, and they're dictating Mate, I've never done it in my life. I couldn't give a shit. If I'm going fishing tomorrow, I am going fishing tomorrow. Good weather, bad weather, good moon, bad tide, whatever.
I but believe his patterns.
He's
like, so
obsessed with it.
On that one
and
day.
And rightly so, to a degree, you know.
What I think, though,
too much proof
like
in it.
When Alan goes, yeah, on that lake, it was a hot summer's day and all the fish are under this bush. I believe that on a hot summer's day at the similar time next year, the fish will still be under that bush. The bigger picture is everything's for a reason. Like, Alan sees it as it's happening. I go, well, next time those conditions are the same as that, they're going to be under that bush because there was a reason why they were there. They don't just pick that bush because they were near it on that day. They picked it because it has the best amount of sun when it comes that way, or there's a mussel bed underneath, or there's something we might not observe, but it's definitely patterns. And the bigger the fish, the more patterns there are. So when I'm trying to find bigger fish, like I might say, Alan goes to me, I was on that lake and on this particular day I saw it, I'll go, do you know what, Mark Holmes said to me that it was pretty much, it was a southwesterly blowing that day, and he's seen fish showing similar sort of area of what Alan said happened last year. And I go, well, when the conditions are the same again, I'm going to look there first. I think that there's a reason why that happened. So you're in the moment, like reacting to something you're seeing. I'm looking
I'd
for
absolutely agree with
for
that.
Patterns. Yeah. Like, and there is patterns. So when I go into a lake, I try and fish low stock lakes. A fish an acre is the sort of perfect ratio for me. So when you get it right, you can have a few bites, but there's a lot of blank times in between. You're not catching doubles, twits, whatever. But I'm going to go, well, what's the last five captures of that fish? They were all on new moons. Or they were all, that fish, four out of its five last captures were in that corner of the lake. So that fish clearly likes
like the
corner of the lake.
Of it.
So I'm looking, yeah. And for me, I had a 9-day Euro trip blank, but I could have caught fish on any given day on that trip. But I didn't, for me to just catch a fish for a picture, so Nash doesn't take the piss out of me, is no achievement whatsoever. I'm happy for Nash's guy. How the fuck did you blank? Alan told you to be fishing on the beach. I don't give a fuck because I don't want to catch a mid-20 common enough
25
to do
kilo
that.
Only,
I want to
mate.
Catch a fish because
kilo.
Everybody said if you fish the deeper water, bait it every day, you might catch one, it might be a big one, or you might blank. I'd rather blank trying to achieve something on my own terms than have a trophy picture for a thing. Now, in hindsight, I've been took the piss out of that much. I wish I'd have had a trophy sweater.
Stop it!
Just throwed it up in front of the nice castle and I'm going, the man. But I actually don't give a flying fuck. I had one of the best holidays I've ever had and never caught a fish in 9 days of fishing three different countries. I don't. But when I did catch a fish, I wanted it to be because I'd caught a fish. Because I like did something that worked and gone, and my mates, they were catching their spots. I could have gone up the side of them any morning or any evening, probably caught a fish. But it's catching a fish for the fish's sake. Now some people just want to catch fish because they get the buzz out of it. I want to achieve, unlock a little bit of the puzzle. I'll go back to Bled the first day I want to go back there in the summer to catch fish off the beach, chilling with the missus. I want to go back in the winter to get out of deep water. But I had the best holiday I've ever had blanking in my entire life.
You got, but I mean, so in, you know, in the perspective, right? You fish Luke Moffat's Lake, Scarmirror, and we have a common. But like, you're over there catching those fish, or going for the fish, and your mate caught that Scar Common, that Scarmirror, sorry.
Reedy was the happiest you could possibly be. He was in elation. Like, the whole situation was pretty snide when we were there. But that fish, it's gobsmacking. It's a freak of nature. You're never going to see a nice. Nobody is going to see a fish bigger than £92 in entire life, unless one or two of you end up on the hungry place. Like, one. And then you might not see it £100 that week. So there's a good chance that £92 is the biggest fish I've ever seen in my life. I caught a 58 the day before, which was my joint PB. Like, I've never seen a fish bigger than 58 at any point. It was, I haven't even mentioned it. I only put the picture on Facebook last week. I haven't even mentioned it because it's the most disappointing situation I've ever been in. Now, the week turned round because Reedy caught the big one, and Reedy was actually embarrassed. He was the one saying, I want to get the fuck out of here, I don't want to be here.
Then I will just, can I just interrupt for one, I will tell you one thing. Prior to them leaving, Jamie, I spoke to Jamie on the phone, and I quote, one of us three will catch that fish, and that goes back to his pattern fucking apps and technology and moon phases. But he rung me before it. He's like, my words, one, and I didn't say it, but I thought, yeah, whatever, Jay, like, are you just gonna rock over to France and catch a 93 pounder? They did.
What you don't know is, like, the session I did before there 2 years ago, the fish was in the same spot where we saw it. I picked that peg knowing it was the duffiest peg on the lake, knowing that I've got a chance for that big fish. I picked that spot on the right hand side where nobody ever fishes, and it turned up there, then it turned up right in my margin. Now, three of us were not on fish.
Happy birthday, dear Jamie.
Happy birthday to you.
I'm not eating if it's not Jaffa cake. Oh, no, right. Did a good job lining the spout.
Yeah, no, that's
just try that little display there.
I apologise for the sparklers, they're a bit, well,
gay.
A bit like his interview, really.
Hello.
And
Justin Kate.
What's your...
Then in the car.
Don't be fingers.
With all the cold, man.
Mr. Angry.
Really need to go outside.
I've probably got a top three, and they're all different, but, like, right, so... Anyone's had an experience in their life where it's like the highest of high, highest of non-drug high, like where you're goosebumps, you're excited, like the adrenaline's pumping, you're speaking at 100 words a minute, like various people, you know, skiers get it, snowboarders get it, like I've had it three times with fish, and I couldn't pick any of them. Fat Lady was one, Angry was one, and the banana coming out of Colmia was one, and they're all different, but... They were. When do you ever get an experience that makes you so fucking buzzed that, like, naturally buzzed?
There's not many experiences.
There's not.
Life.
No, and you know, adrenaline junkies get it. Skiing, snowboarding, mountain climbing, rock climbing, whatever. Like, there's a few things in this life, but everybody should have one of them. Everybody should have something that makes them feel. Your adrenaline, testosterone level is so high, and. Like, that's why I think fishing, carp fishing is so popular, because that happens every time the butter goes. Like, you're like, shit. You're into panic, you're all chilled, panic, all of a sudden, everything's...
No, I'll catch
you
later, mate.
You're a Stella.
I've
finished
through rock climbing,
I've
come into fishing.
It's like Phoenix Night, isn't it?
Quite high, it's from the rock climbing.
You're strong by me now.
Like, no, you're lying. You're strong by me. Smith there.
We get some more in there. Do you need Stella?
Stella's behind you, Mark. Stella's, I'll chuck you.